or their girlfriend. They center their lives around these people. Then something goes wrong in that relationship. They get destroyed. Their God is letting them down. Older people who have kids that center their lives around their kids, make their kids this most important thing in their life, or their spouse, their most important thing in their life. And then something happens with that relationship and they get destroyed because their God is letting them down. How many of you know that if your God dumps you, it's a bad thing? A couple, yeah. So today, Jesus wants to help us find out what our God is and what this thing is that we're devoted to. And Jesus says, the thing that you are most devoted to, this is the thing that you're going to worry about. And so worry actually points us to where our God is. And we don't usually think this way. A worry is an emotional thing. We don't like to actually think much about it at all. We just do it. We like to do it sometimes. But here's the crazy thing. None of us are attracted to worry. When you see worry in somebody else, it's not an attractive thing. We all know that worriers aren't really living. So I need a couple of volunteers just to make this really work here. So I need two people who can do facial expressions. Two people who can do some facial expressions for me. Not going to be super hard, but I need some help here. All right, one there, one more. Yeah, come on up. Jordan, thank you. Right there, buddy. Come on up. All right, so we've got Andrew and Jordan. Okay, so these are our two people. Now, we're going to go with Jordan. You are going to put on your best confident face, your smiley, happy, confident face, okay? And Andrew, you are going to put on your worried face, terribly worried, all right? Not just constipated, but worried, like, yeah, yeah, there you go. Okay, now just hold that for just a second here. So let me ask you, so who's winning at life? Like, we've got a couple of people here. We've got confident, we've got worried. The confident person can walk right into a room. The storms of life are coming at them, but they've got a firm foundation. So bad and difficult things happen to all of us. Happens even to Jordan. But they don't get destroyed by it because their eyes are fixed on God who can calm the storm. God who can walk on the waves. When you see somebody like that, there's something attractive about that. Somebody who's their own foundation. Worried. Right. Stays up all night, fretting, sweating, right? It's going to be like coming out down there, right? Stinky, like crazy, all right? Sweating, you can't fall asleep. During the day, you're complaining all the time about everything that's going bad to you. You got this like stinking thinking and stinking pits going on. You're whining all the time. Who'd you rather hang out with? Confidence. Right? We're attracted to confidence. Who's winning at life? Confidence. Nobody is winning who's worrying all the time. That's it, guys. You can go sit down. Thank you for being confident and worried for me. So, yeah. No prizes. Sorry. Over and over again throughout this series, we've talked about how Jesus wants you to win at life. Wants you to be the Jordan, not the Andrew. And when it comes down to winning, Jesus says we need to defeat worry in our lives in order to accomplish that. And so we need to find out what it is that we're devoted to. Now, let me just make a couple of confessions to you this evening. These are not confessions maybe you want to hear from your pastor, but I'm going to tell them anyway. So don't tell anybody. This will be just kind of our secret here, okay? I want to confess to you a couple of things that I don't worry about. Right? A couple of things that I don't worry about. So here's this. I never worry. I heard before about school. I never worry whether you're going to pass your exams or not. Just doesn't keep me up at night, right? You're sweating about this? Doesn't make me sweat. Why is that? Well, I can be concerned for you if you come and you tell me, you know, hey, I've got this big test and I've been preparing, but my goodness, it's over my head, you know, I'm feeling worried, then I can pray with you, I can be concerned for you, but I'm not going to be worried about whether or not you pass your test. Frankly, that's because I've never devoted myself to your educational success. Just never dawned on me to do that. Here's another thing. I've never worried about whether or not you're going to find that perfect boyfriend or girlfriend and get married. Doesn't worry me. Not at all. Why? Well, because I've never devoted myself to your relational success. Again, I mean, I hope things work out for you good, right? Like, you find that great person who can bring the most out of you. I hope that for you, but I never worry about it. You see, my worry is tied to the things that I'm most devoted to. And particularly, those things that I have limited or no control over. That's what gets me worried. And so when it comes to relationships, you can be a nice person, but you can't make someone stay in love with you. And so you could be worried that your relationship is going to fall apart. You don't have control over this. You can do your best at work, but you can't control what your boss thinks of you. And all of these things cause us to worry because really they're important to us. We spend ourselves our time thinking about them, and we really devote ourselves to success in these areas. And all of us worry about these things that we're most devoted to. And in the face of all of this, Jesus asks, what would happen to your worry if you switched your devotion from these things that make you worry to something else? What would happen to your worry if you were treasuring the right treasure? So I want to look at our text today. We're in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 24. And so if you've got your Bible open here, I need a reader to read Matthew chapter 6, just verse 24. Somebody do that for me? We are not a jumping up and getting excited. Kira, you got your Bible open? Thank you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Right on. Did you hear the D word in that passage? Believe does not start with D, but close. That's another good word. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted. Devoted. Now, I'm not sure how much of a chord this is going to strike with you, but maybe it will. This came up earlier. But it's interesting to me that when Jesus talks about worry, the illustration he uses is money. You can't serve God and money. Now, I recognize that a lot of you are still living at home, maybe not paying all that many bills, and so perhaps money doesn't register that high on your worry list. But statistically, 70% of adults say that their number one worry is money. And so enjoy it if you're not worried about money, because chances are it's coming. So anyway, adults, they worry that they're not going to have enough money to retire. Basically, they're worried that their life is going to keep going beyond their money. Isn't that kind of a funny thing to worry about? But they worry about their job because, you know, they don't have any control over what their boss thinks of them. If something doesn't work out, they're not going to have the money to be able to do what they want. And so money is important to us. It's one of the things that we devote ourselves to. But in the chance that money is not something that you are worried about right now, that's okay, actually, because this word that's translated money at the end of verse 24 there is actually the Greek word mammon, and it means stuff. Just stuff. And so stuff is something that our world absolutely revolves around. So if you've ever mistakenly or on purpose disabled ad block for a second, and then what happens is you just start watching a whole pile of ads right away. This happened to me. Actually, my ad block died. I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, I'm just watching ads all the time, and they're all about all these things that I didn't even know existed, but now I start feeling like I need. It's kind of funny, but marketers actually pay YouTube because they know that when they put their junk in front of our eyes, we will begin to devote ourselves to getting it. So Jesus responds not by telling us not to treasure things, but by telling us to treasure the treasure that brings lasting joy. Treasure God. Now, most of us, I think, would say, hey, you know, I want to treasure God with my life. But I also want to treasure stuff. I want to get both, and so I'm going to devote myself to God and heavenly treasure, and I'll get God, and I'll get his kingdom, and I'll also get some earthly treasure while I'm at it. Man, it seems like a good strategy, but Jesus says, you know, it doesn't work that way. You can either have your feet on the foundation, your eyes on the God who can calm the storm. You can either devote yourself to that, or you can stay up all night sweating, worrying, because you're devoted to earthly treasure. What you can't do is both. And the evidence that Jesus is going to give for this is that there's no such thing as like a faith-filled, confident worrier. These things are mutually exclusive. But maybe you say, well, okay, I love God, but I also love my stuff. And Jesus says, okay, but here's the deal. You need to choose which one you're going to be devoted to. It's not that, like, we all have stuff around us. All of us are wearing stuff, and we have lots of stuff. But so it's not having stuff that's a problem, but where are you going to be devoted to? And that's because you can't be devoted to God and stuff, because gods always fight for supremacy in our lives. Gods always fight for supremacy in our life. No God is happy sharing your soul with another. So if you're devoted to stuff that becomes your God, it will not let you share your soul with another. You can't be devoted to God and stuff. And so we say, oh, you know, like, that sounds terrible then, God. Like you want me to devote myself to you, and then just, I'm not going to get any stuff at all. I'm going to have to just, you know, be miserable my entire life because I can't have this stuff that I love. God wants me to be miserable. When I was younger, I used to read Calvin and Hobbes a bunch. Does anybody know who Calvin and Hobbes are? Oh, good. Right on. So here's a couple of my favorite clips. Just throw those up there. All right. So here's the first one on the left. I love Dad, and now I love Dad even more because I'm Dad. So anyway, why can't we get a snowblower? We must be the only family in the world that still shovels the driveway by hand. I'm freezing. Builds character. Keep at it. Brilliant, you know, what a great line, right? And then here's Calvin pretending he is Dad, right? He's stolen Dad's glasses. Calvin, go do something you hate. Being miserable builds character. This is kind of the way we think of God. And so turn to the person beside you and ask them, what kind of things are people afraid God is going to ask them to do or to give up if they devote their lives to him? What kind of things are people afraid God's going to ask them to do or to give up if they devote their lives to him? Talk with your friend. All right. I'm going to try this again. Whose partner had a good idea of something that people are afraid of? All right. Hey, there you go. Yeah. Jameson? Yeah, good. What's something that people are afraid God's going to ask them to give up if they devote themselves to Him? Stop doing the sins you like doing. Yeah, God might ask you to do that. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Give me some other ideas. What other things are people afraid God's going to ask them to give up? Friendships. And that's a good one. Good. All right, I got this friendship. I like this friendship. But if I devote myself to God, I'm probably going to have to give that up. Give me another idea. What else are something people are afraid God's going to ask them to give up if they devote their lives to Him, or ask them to do if they devote their lives to Him? Comfort. Right? Yeah, I got to get, you know, sheesh, God, if I devote myself to You, I'm going to have to give up my comfort. I'm going to be uncomfortable if I devote myself to You. There's lots of things like this, actually. And really, I think probably all of us have had thoughts like these go through our heads. But when we're saying something like this, what we are saying is, you know, God, if I do it Your way, it's going to be worse for me than if I do it my way. My way is going to be more fun than Your way. But Jesus actually says, you know, it's a lie. It seems to make sense. This is a lie that we really believe. But Jesus says it's a lie. Treasuring God will be better, more fun, long term, than treasuring the treasures of earth. So look down at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even King Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. So the therefore is there, so because there's a battle for your soul going on. There's this battle of the gods. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Don't give in to the wrong side of this battle. There's all sorts of things that want your devotion. So therefore, don't give your devotion to one of these things, because it's going to eat you. You're going to worry about it. And then Jesus actually gives a bunch of examples of things that people in the first century worried about. So don't worry about your life. Verse 25, it says that's pretty general, but then it says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. In the first century, pretty much everyone who isn't Caesar is a peasant. And so these are real concerns for them. When they get up in the morning, there's no cereal in their cupboard. They would go to work all day, hoping to get paid at the end of the day, and with that money, they would go and buy some food to feed themselves and their family. Things were tight, and clothes were expensive. Nobody in the first century looked in their closet at like 100 shirts and said, I don't have anything to wear. Nobody said that. Maybe they'd have one set of clothes or two. In comparison to this, all of us are just filthy rich. This is the idea behind the Instagram that went out earlier today, if you got that, about bring some clothes that you can donate. Some of you did that, and actually they're piled up in the back there right now. We're so wealthy, incredibly wealthy. In fact, if you woke up this morning and had the option of breakfast, didn't necessarily eat it, but you had the option of breakfast and a clean glass of water, you're richer than 50% of the people in the world. We're just incredibly wealthy. And yet worry hasn't gone away for us. Isn't that funny? We just worry about different stuff. And so I think if Jesus was here today, he'd say, you know, don't worry about school. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about whether you're going to get asked to the prom. I know that's a little ways away yet. Don't worry about whether your grades are going to be good enough to get into college. Don't worry about whether you're going to be single the rest of your life. Don't worry about whether your teacher is going to put something on the test that he didn't tell you to study for. Don't worry that you're not going to be able to make your stepmom happy. Don't worry about whether you're going to be able to keep your job. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about any of these things. Don't worry about your life. Really, Jesus? I mean, aren't these things kind of important? Are you saying I'm not supposed to pursue any of these things at all? No. Actually, that's not the point. And here's the brilliant thing. In a second, Jesus is going to say, you know, I know these things are important and I'm going to take care of them for you. But if any of these important things becomes the thing that you're devoted to, that's where it's going to go bad. You're going to get destroyed by these things. They will make you worry. You don't have any control over those. You don't have control over whether your teacher puts something on the test that he doesn't tell you about. You don't have control over whether or not you're going to be single for the rest of your life. You don't have control over any of these things. But Jesus says there is a way to face the uncertainty of tomorrow and not worry about it today. There's a way to do that, and the way is to devote yourself to God who's actually in control. So then he gives this example. He says, look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They aren't devoted to any of the things that are so important to you that you're devoted to. They're not devoted to any of them, and yet God feeds them. So the birds of the air don't worry about whether they're going to be able to keep their job. They don't worry about school. They don't worry about money. They don't even try. All they do is like one day they just wake up and they're like, hey, let's fly south. Just going on instinct. One day they just say, man, you know, that's a gorgeous piece of string there. I'm just going to pick that up and build a tree for it. They don't think, you know, didn't I do this last year? Like, why am I doing this? They just go on instinct. And Jesus says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God takes care of the birds. And then Jesus says this, aren't you more important than birds to God? What do you think? Does God care more for you than he does for the birds? Think back to creation for just a second, when God was making everything, and after he made everything, he said, you know, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then after he made people, what did he say? It's very good. So what do you think? Does God care more about you who actually bears his image, who has his spirit, the breath of his spirit right inside of you? Does God care more for you than he does for the birds? Of course. The God of the universe loves you and he wants what's best for you. It's a lie that our way is better than his way. This seems a little bit silly to us, but birds don't worry, and yet God takes care of them, even though they're not nearly as important as you. And so what Jesus is saying here is you can shift your devotion from stuff that you're devoted to and worried about to God, and he's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. Now, you don't have to not worry because you know what's going to happen in the future. You don't. And you don't have to not worry because everything is going to turn out the way you want it to. It won't. But you don't have to worry because you can trust the one who does know what's going to happen tomorrow and who loves you. Jesus goes on, look at verse 31. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need him. Jesus says, pagans, so people who don't believe in God, they worry about the things that they do control or that they don't control. They worry about these things because they have no other choice. They're the only one who's going to take care of these things. But you don't have to live like pagans, Jesus says. When you're worrying, you're living like pagans, people who don't even believe there's a God. You can shift your devotion away from these fickle gods, the gods of the world that are going to keep you up at night, make you sweat, eventually dump you. You can focus your devotion on something else. And then in verse 33, Jesus gives us the cure for worry. He says this, but seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But seek first. Whatever you've been seeking first is what you're emotionally devoted to. But Jesus says if you're worrying, then you've been devoted to the wrong things. And so the solution is to transfer your devotion. Seek first God's kingdom, his righteousness, instead of all these other important things. As long as your devotion is your grades or your relationship or your health or your job or anything else, you have to worry. That's the only thing you can do because you have no idea what's going to happen to these things. You worry about them. And yet you have no control over the future. Jesus wants to invite you into something else. So Jesus says, if you want to win, then you have to put me at the center of your life. Trade your devotion from any of these things to me. And here's the way we do this. It's actually not complicated. The idea is not complicated, but it's hard to do. Here's the idea. You do it by praying, Father, your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, your kingdom come. Father, your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. On earth, that's in my life as it is in heaven. You need to actually pray this way continually. God's will, not my will. You need to pray this all the time. Every day won't hurt. And you see, you won't grow out of the need to shift your devotion from stuff to God. You're not going to grow out of this. You're not going to stop needing to do this. You're not going to get so mature in your faith that you get past this. The fact is, every day, troubles and treasures in the world are going to seek to capture your devotion. That's going on right now. There is a battle for your soul going on right now. Every single day, troubles and treasures are going to seek to capture your devotion, and you are going to have to work every single day to shift your devotion from these things that want it and onto God, onto his kingdom and his righteousness more than your own kingdom. Jesus says, this is the cure for worry. This is the answer to how to really live, because when your devotion is God's kingdom, actually, what you're doing is you end up partnering with him in pursuing it. It's like if I would devote myself to you getting a good girlfriend or a good boyfriend. If I devoted myself to that, we'd be partnering in it. Surely, you'd want this too, and I'd be working with you to that, but you'd still carry most of the weight because it's you. And so here it is, when we partner with God in increasing his kingdom, he carries the weight. It's his kingdom. And so we have nothing to worry about. At least that's in theory. what we worry about here is, God, if I'm worrying about your kingdom, who's going to worry about my kingdom? Who's going to worry about my stuff? After all, Pastor Dan already confessed that he's not worrying about my stuff. Jesus says, you got a point there. If you're devoted to my kingdom, nobody's going to be worrying about your stuff. Nobody's going to be worrying about it. You're not going to be worried about it. God's sure not going to worry about your stuff. He doesn't have to worry because he actually has control over everything. We worry about things we don't have control over. God's not going to worry about your stuff. Nobody's going to worry about your stuff. But here's where the catch comes in. Jesus says, when you're worrying, does it actually help you? Does it go better for you when you worry about your stuff? Or do you just end up looking constipated like Andrew? Does it go good? No, right? You still, Jesus says, even if you're worrying, can you add a second to your life? You can't even do that. Why worry then? Why worry that nobody's worrying about your life? Jesus says, I got some good news for you. Seek God's kingdom. Make this your devotion. And all these things that are important, that you're worried about, will actually be taken care of by the most powerful God in the universe. He loves you and he wants to give you what's best for you. Put your devotion there. Let God take care of you. That's what verse 33 means. Shift your devotion off of whatever is causing you to worry and onto God. Pray, God, no matter what happens today, I'm going to live my life for your glory. This is a prayer of devotion, shifting your devotion from anything to God. Whatever happens today, I'm going to live for your glory. I'm going to seek the advancement of your kingdom more than my kingdom. And I'm going to leave all the things that I have no control over in your hands. And Jesus says, this is the way to stop being a sweaty, stinky, bag-eyed, wrinkle-foreheaded person. You can start to win. Doesn't it sound good? Don't you want to win? Wouldn't it feel good to live a worry-free life? This is what Jesus wants for you. And we're going to move into our interactive worship time now. And so I'm going to invite Nikki to come up, and she's going to start playing. And we've got a couple of stations like we had last week. And so we've got one over here. It's some stuff to think about. There is a station in the back with the lights. So both the little lights over there are stations. And there is a giving station here as well. So here's what I want you to think about as we go into these stations. If you've devoted yourself to something other than God's kingdom, his righteousness, and you've been suffering worry because of it, I want to encourage you to flesh that out. Like, what is it that I've been devoted to? And how's that working out for me? Am I adding any seconds to my life by being devoted to this and worrying about this? Jesus loves you. He wants you to win at life. And he says the way to win is to trade your devotion from these stuff and things to the one treasure. It's going to make you win. And so I want to encourage you to check out the stations. Go for prayer. Spencer and Kat, are you going to be praying? Good. So Spencer and Kat will be at the doors back there. Jared will be around too, I think. Where's Jared? There he is over there. Yeah. Go check out the stations. Go for prayer and find out what it is that you've been devoted to and switch your devotion to God. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you that there is a treasure worth pursuing. That you are a treasure that when we get you, we get everything. Lord, most of us here tonight know this in our minds, but we still have trouble actually doing it. And so I pray even now as we start thinking about what it is that we've been devoted to and what's been causing us worry, I pray, Jesus, that you'd speak into our hearts. Give us the courage and strength to switch our devotion from these things and onto you, seeking you and your kingdom and your righteousness. In the name of Jesus, we pray.